I want to speak this morning on the subject, something is missing. Something is missing. You'll find the text in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Especially the words, be filled with the Spirit. How often we have made the statement or heard the statement, there is something missing. And maybe it is something of little or no value, so that it doesn't really matter. On the other hand, it may be something vital that is missing. Something really important. Something extremely valuable that is missing. It is essential that we lay hold upon it. We cannot afford to do without it a moment longer. We must get it right away. Is there something missing from your life this morning? Even now, as we're met in the presence of God, you feel deeply the loss. There is a void, there is a vacuum that needs to be filled. And it needs to be filled urgently. What is it? Have you defined it? Can you describe it? Are you able to declare precisely what it is that you are lacking in your life this morning? Physically, you may feel unwell. You go to your doctor to assess the situation, to get a diagnosis, to get a cure, hopefully. Something is lacking spiritually in your life this morning. The problem needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed urgently. You cannot go on as you have been going on. There is a lack of power. A lack of power. We're like the old car. I remember my father having this old car. And the carburetor wasn't too good. And of course, every so often it would give a chug. Maybe you've had a car like that in the past. Of course, all the modern cars, they go just like a dream, don't they? Until you conk out altogether and then the carburetor's no good. You need to get it on a machine somewhere. But this was an old car, and the carburetor, of course, was full of dirty petrol. At least that's what my dad told me. And it chugged along, going nowhere fast. And you know, perhaps that's your state spiritually this morning. In the past year, we've been thinking about the theme of revival. We've been thinking last year of the 150th anniversary of that great revival in Ulster. And how we need revival today. What is revival? Essentially, it is the demonstration of divine power. God's power let loose among His people. Making a mighty impact in and through the people of God to multitudes without the Lord Jesus Christ. And seeing many of them miraculously saved by the grace of God. Yes, there is something missing. In the lives individually and collectively of the people of God. We need that void to be filled today. In our hearts. In the life of the church. It is an urgent matter. There can be no delay in seeking to address the problem. God has the solution today. God is the solution. Notice the directive here given in our text. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let us consider seriously this morning. And set out to address the problem and to find the solution and to be filled with the Spirit of God and to know the anointing of God upon us in a mighty way. It could be said that today, Spirit-filled Christians and Spirit-filled churches are urgently needed. May God send us the power of the Spirit, even this morning. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There are three things that I want to draw your attention to here. First of all, simply the exhortation that is given, be filled with the Spirit. And the obligation to be filled with the Spirit is laid upon every Christian. This being filled with the Spirit is what God requires, not just of ministers, not just of missionaries or Christian workers, but of every child of God, every believer in Christ. You notice where these words are set here. They are set within the context of the Apostle Paul speaking about husbands and wives and children and parents, servants and masters. Be filled with the Holy Spirit is not just something for preaching. It is something for living. It is something for you and I today, as we're met in the presence of God and for our daily living. It is also worth noting that the duration is for every moment. The tense here is the present tense, where Paul is essentially saying, be ye continually filled with the Spirit. Here, therefore, is a condition to be maintained. Paul is not referring here to the experience of a moment, but the experience of a lifetime. The word filled that is used here is a word of degree. It suggests the possibility of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives without being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the very fact that there is a command to be filled carries with it the implication that it is possible not to be filled. But when we consider that this word filled is a word of degree, and that word is related to a person, we face the fact again that we cannot have more or less of a person. You can, however, have more or less of a person's trust. You can allow a person more or less liberty or freedom in your home. But you cannot have more or less of a person. Notice the instruction here. If the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the terminology used to describe the filling or the receiving of the person of the Holy Spirit, then that of being filled with the Spirit is the terminology used to describe a releasing of the Spirit's power in our lives. Be filled with the Spirit. It can be translated, keep being filled. In the early days of the church there, in the Acts of the Apostles, believers were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 at Pentecost. Later on in Acts chapter 4, they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit following his conversion. In Acts 9:17, years later, he was filled again with the Holy Spirit in Acts 13:9. Here we learn that the filling of the Spirit of God is a repeated experience. We need to be repeatedly filled with the Holy Spirit. This was never the case with the Spirit's ministries of indwelling or sealing or baptism. These occur once in every believer, never needing to be repeated. It is a sad reflection today on the spiritual state of many Christians that they are regenerated by the Spirit. They are indwelt by the Spirit of God. They are sealed and baptized by the Holy Ghost, but they are not filled with the Spirit. And the exhortation here is to you and me today, be filled with the Spirit. That's the instruction. Now, what does it involve? It involves a willingness on our part to be filled. For the Holy Spirit to do in you and me what He wants to do and what He has been sent to do. There will be no restriction imposed upon his activity. There will be no restraining hand stretched out by me. So many of us, you know, today, we treat the Holy Spirit like we treat the dentist, especially if the dentist is a new one. And we're not sure if he knows how far he can go before we squeal. In that case, our hand is never far away from his hand, or maybe never far away from his throat. So that we can stop him doing what he wants to do whenever it begins to hurt. In order to be filled crucially, and in order to be filled continually, there must be that utter willingness, that complete readiness for everything and for anything. Sometimes our reservations will vary. We may restrict the amount of the activities of the Holy Spirit. We may restrict the nature of the activities of the Holy Spirit. But how essential it is for every Christian to find out what the activities, what the ministries of the Holy Spirit are meant to be. Not his gifts, but what his ministries and what his activities are. And then to allow him to do those activities and ministries. He has been given to teach, for one thing. Therefore, we must give him opportunities to teach us. The Holy Spirit teaching us. He has been given to lead. Then we must be willing to obey his leading in our lives. He has been given to pray. Then we must allow him to pray in and through us. He has been given to glorify Christ. Then our motives must be utterly unselfish and pure. He has been given to live the kind of life now that God would have us live hereafter. He has been given to seal our lives as belonging to God. Therefore, we must recognize the ownership of God over every part of our lives. The urge, the promptings will come. The significant part that we play is now that we respond to these urgings. We respond to these promptings of the Holy Spirit of God. Those who were filled because they were ready to be filled. They were willing to be filled. Are you ready this morning? Are you willing to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Further, it involves a willingness to put out of our lives anything that is inconsistent with his character. And to bring into our lives anything that is consistent with his character. His character, the character of the Holy Spirit, is revealed by his names. For example, he's the Spirit of love. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of holiness. He's the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. He not only wants to do so much in me and through me, he wants to be so much in me and to me and through me. Where this willingness on our part is lacking, the Holy Spirit is grieved. May God make us willing today. May God help us to be willing. To know in our lives the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God, and not to grieve the Spirit of God, because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Surely we grieve him when we fail to allow him to do in us that for which he has been given. When we appeal to allow him to be in us what he wants to be. Are you grieving the Holy Spirit this morning? And not allowing the Holy Spirit to be in your life and mine what he wants to be. And then I want you to see not only what it involves, but I want you to see the indication here. Being filled with the Spirit is associated, first of all, with the enablement to witness. On the day of Pentecost, they were no sooner filled than they went out, and their tongues were loose, and they were speaking of Christ. Look, for example, at Acts 2 and 4. They began to speak, it tells us. Acts 2:14, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, began to speak for the Lord. Acts 4 and 8, Peter filled, said. Notice those words there in Acts 4 and 8. Again, Acts 4:31, they were all filled and they spake the word of God with boldness. Acts 9 and 20, Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, straightway preached Christ. Acts 13:9, Saul, filled, said, notice those words there, enablement to witness. And even here, care is needed. Some people are in danger of assuming that whenever they are filled with the Holy Spirit, this will result in tremendous blessing. That thousands will be converted to faith in Christ, as happened on the day of Pentecost, and later happened in Samaria. But the records of big movements are confined to these occasions in Scripture. Was Paul not filled with the Holy Ghost when he went to Athens? How many were converted there? Was Paul not filled with the Holy Ghost when he went to Corinth? How many were converted there? Surely Paul was continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet in the greater part of his missionary journeys, the response was small. The reason for the exceptional responses in Jerusalem and in Samaria, I suggest to you, these were fields where the seed had been well sown and well tendered by the ministry of Christ. There was a great harvest to reap there. In that city of Samaria and also in Jerusalem. Enablement for witness. You want a witness for Christ? You want to testify of the Savior? Be filled with the Holy Spirit, enabling you to witness for Christ. And then secondly, it not only has to do with enablement for witness, but it has to do with engagement in warfare. Being filled with the Spirit always builds up a swift reaction. A negative reaction of ridicule and mockery that took place there in Acts chapter 2 verse 13. Or a negative reaction of resistance and threats against the servants of God that took place in Acts 4 and 21. But there can also be a positive reaction. The Holy Spirit convicting men and women and young people of sin, the sin of not believing in Christ, then being brought to faith in Him and into fellowship with Christ, into the unity that is found in Christ. But let us remember that being filled with the Holy Spirit leads not into a peaceful, easy, comfortable Christian experience, but rather into that of turbulence and battle. We are called to warfare. We are called to be soldiers of Christ. We are called to battle in an evil day and to stand in an evil day against all the wiles of the devil. And the exhortation that is given, be filled with the Spirit. I want you to notice, secondly, the emphasis that is glorious. This emphasis upon being filled with the Spirit. There's a contrast here and a comparison between drunkenness and being filled with the Spirit. The analogy appears, this particular analogy appears not less than three times in the New Testament. It appears, for example, in Luke chapter 1, verse 15. It appears again in Acts chapter 2, verses 4 and 13, and again here in Ephesians 5 and 18. The comparison between drunkenness and being filled with the Spirit is in the matter of control. I want you to see that today. You see, a drunk person is under the control of alcohol and will think and speak and act in ways not natural to them when they would be sober. A Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit, I suggest to you today, will think and speak and act in a way that is not natural when he or she is controlled by the flesh. Thus a Spirit-filled life is simply a Spirit-controlled life. Have you a Spirit-controlled life today? Is your life controlled by the Spirit of God? Our English word filled is the translation of several different words in the original text. However, the idea of being controlled seems to dominate. When the Lord Jesus Christ performed the miracle of healing the man with the palsy in the gospel, we read, "And they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today." The sight of a paralytic was a common thing. But what was uncommon was the instantaneous cure of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the sight of the miracle, they were controlled by fear. They were filled with fear. A little later, Christ entered the synagogue and saw a man whose right hand was withered. At Jesus' command, the man stretched forth his hand and immediately his hand was completely healed. Because it was the Sabbath day, of course, the enemies of Christ took advantage on this occasion to attack him. And it says in Luke chapter 6 there, verses 6 to 11, they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do with Jesus. In this instance, they were controlled by madness against Christ. And then when Christ told his disciples that he was going to leave them and that they would be persecuted after his departure, he observed their reaction. He said, "Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." John chapter 16 and verse 6. They were controlled, dominated by sorrow. And then in the early church, in the Acts of the Apostles, you remember Ananias sold some land and brought part of the money to the disciples to give it to the Lord's work. And Ananias, along with his wife Sapphira, pretended that they brought the full price from the sale of the land. And Peter said this in Acts 5, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the price of the land?" You see, Ananias and his wife, controlled by Satan, were led to lie and to deceive. The thought is that of control in all these examples we have cited to you. Now when the Father sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us, it was that he might fill us. It was that he might control us. The believer who is filled with the Spirit is not merely to be indwelt by the Spirit, but also controlled by the Spirit. This is the great need of the hour for the Christian church, for this church here in Martyrs Memorial, Free Presbyterian today, for all of our sister congregations, for all believers in Christ, the worldwide, to be filled with the Spirit. There are new challenges that face us. The commission of Christ has to be fulfilled as far as the church is concerned. To live the Christian life as it ought to be lived, to serve Christ as he ought to be served. Not all Christians live on the same spiritual level. There's an obvious difference between behavior the behavior of Christians. We know this both from the teaching of Scripture and from personal experience. For example, when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he wrote unto them as carnal, he couldn't write unto them as unto spiritual. There are Christians who have grown up in the Lord, and the Bible speaks about these, and those who have not grown up. In the language of John the Apostle, in his epistles, there are three levels of growth in God's family: little children, young men, and fathers. You'll note that in John's epistles. There are those who walk after the manner of men, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3 and 3. And there are those who walk worthy of the Lord, as Paul writes in Colossians 1 and 10. And thus the language of Scripture acknowledges a difference in the quality of the day-to-day lives of believers. What is your quality of life today, my friend? What is the quality of your spiritual life? How is it with you as far as these matters are concerned? Have you grown up in the Lord, or are you still immature? You've never gone on with God. No one can question your salvation or your standing in Christ. That's not the issue. But the issue is, are you filled with the Spirit? Being filled with the Spirit is indispensable to growth and spirituality. A young pastor on one occasion struggled with a bad situation. Merely his ministry lacked power. Then one day he heard a message on the Spirit-filled life. He returned home from that meeting determined to investigate the matter. And so he read the Scriptures, and what he had heard and what he gleaned in a study from the Word of God convinced him of the sad fact that he was a preacher who was not filled with the Holy Spirit. He had graduated from a well-known Bible school. He had the truth, but the truth was divorced from power. And that can happen. I went into our new refurbished church building last night later on just to see how things were going on. I went to one set of lights, flicked them all down, nothing happened. But then I went to another set, flicked them all down, the place lit up. You see, I wasn't linked in the first time with the power. Maybe I need to contact the electrician tomorrow. He can make sure he's got the power in that particular set. But you know what I mean? We can have the truth, but not the power. And that's what happened with this young man. He was guilty of what Dr. Ironside called trafficking with unfelt truth. And we can bypass the plain fact that the results of the Pentecostal sermon were due largely to the experience of the disciples, namely, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot bypass that. The filling of the Holy Spirit is indispensable to effective service for Jesus Christ. And I don't care who you are, or what gifts you have, or what theological training you have, or what examination results you came out with. My friend, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you can have all the study in the world and all the knowledge in the world, but it will be all abstract and having no effect upon the lives of men and women and boys and girls. That's the truth of the matter, and that's the truth of the Word of God. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. And we are in danger today of producing theological geniuses and men who know theology from one end of it to the other. No harm in that. But men who have not the power of God in their ministry. And brethren and sisters, we need the power of God in our ministry and in our witness for Christ and in our day-to-day living. Have you this power? And then I want you to see, finally, the endowment that is great. Be filled with the Spirit. This is something great. Being endued with power from on high, Luke 24:49. The Bible says, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And when you get to Acts 1, you discover that they waited there. 120 of them. Women as well as men. Women have their role to play in the church as well as men. Women folk, be reminded of this as regards the prayer meeting and the times of prayer and other roles that you can play as far as the church is concerned as well. The Bible doesn't speak of a role of leadership in the church for women, but the Bible does speak of a clear role for women in the church. And that's where we stand, friend. And one of those roles here was fulfilled by these women in Acts 1. They prayed along with the menfolk in that prayer meeting for the endowment of power from on high. These all continued, Acts 1:14, in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They waited. Are we waiting for God to come? Are we waiting for God to move? Are we waiting for the infilling of the Holy Spirit? This is what we need. They waited. They wanted. They wanted this endowment. This was their desire. They realized this was what they lacked. Something was missing. We said it at the start. Something is missing today in your life. Something is missing in my life. We need this power. Do we want it? Do we want it? They wanted it. And then they were wonderfully filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 and 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Not one was left out. All of those people in the upper room prayer meeting, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They who were all with one accord in one place, they who all unitedly prayed, they who all waited upon God, they who all wanted this infilling, received it powerfully. Received it wonderfully. And this same people in Acts chapter 4 received it again. They received it again. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, Acts 4:31, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, it was not, as we've emphasized, a once-for-all experience. Well-meaning people may put out that particular notion. Well-meaning people, I say. But it is not biblical to say that, because it is a repeated experience. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit today and tomorrow and every day. That's the teaching of Scripture. And unction was given unto them. The unction of the Holy Spirit. Leonard Ravenhill, that great writer, he said this, in all thy getting, get unction. Get unction. And you know, not only was unction given unto them, utterance was given unto them to go out with the word. Peter in Acts 2. In Acts 4, they speak the word of God with boldness. And the unction of the Holy Spirit gives utterance. Ye shall receive power, Acts 1:8. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. A mighty impact was made for God in their day and generation. And it is only as we are filled with the Holy Ghost that we will make an impression upon our families. Your families without Christ, your husband, your wife, your sons and daughters, your grandchildren, those that you love so dearly, those that you want to make an impression upon, you can only do so as you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to make an impression upon this neighborhood. You want to make an impression upon the city of Belfast. You want to make an impression on Northern Ireland. You want to make an impression on the world. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Something is missing. You want to make an impression in your school, young person, in your college, in the workplace where you are. Something is missing. Be filled with the Spirit. Something is missing from the church. Be filled with the Spirit. And one of the places to get it is get to the prayer meeting.
Maybe it's not my place to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. This morning. What about the prayer meeting before the service? Get in there and get praying. What about the prayer meeting Wednesday night? What about the Lord's table? Because that was a great issue in the Acts of the Apostles, where the people came to the table. And they came unitedly and in fellowship to the table of the Lord and remembered the Lord's death. That's a very important issue as well. But that's another subject for another day. Something is missing. What is it? From our lives, personally, from the life of the church, we have identified it this morning. Let us as individuals and collectively as a people put it right. Be filled with the Spirit. There's an interesting verse in Acts 19 and 2. It says this. That's the question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You know what they said? I haven't even heard if there be a Holy Ghost. And that could be said of many Christians. But this is a taboo word. Now, I know for reasons of sensationalism and other things like that, some people are very reticent about this matter. But we ought not to be, because we've got the truth. We're not into sensationalism. We're not talking here about fanaticism. We're not talking here about people running up the aisles with flags and waving flags and rolling in the aisles and getting on like absolute idiots. We're talking here about something that is spiritual, something that is scriptural. And something we can have, and you and I can have, and this church can have, and this district will know that God has visited His people. But have you the Holy Spirit? You know, there are people who haven't the Holy Spirit. And there may be some in this gathering today who have not the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you today, are you saved? Because if you're not saved, you haven't got the Holy Spirit. But thank God you can be saved today. You can enter into Christ. You can know the joy of sins forgiven, the peace that the Savior gives. You know, I was preaching in prison this morning, and they did let me out at the end of it. But when I was preaching, an interesting thing happened. A young man who comes every week, he interrupted me. And preachers don't like getting interrupted. But on this occasion, I let it go, because this young man was anxious about his soul. He said, how can I have this faith? I was talking about faith. How can I have this faith? And I just, in front of the other men, explained to him how you have this faith, this saving faith in Christ. And friend, you can have this saving faith. You can be saved today. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. May the Lord write indelibly His word upon our hearts. Let us pray. Father, we pray that You would, O God, cause Your word to take root today. O Lord, how we need the Holy Spirit, how we need its power, the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. Grant it, Lord, to be so in our lives. O fill us, Lord, with Thy Spirit. Come upon this meeting now, in the closing seconds, Lord, breathe upon us by Thy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning in our hymn books to 181. 181 in our hymn book. The Holy Spirit, Thy Holy Spirit, Lord, alone can turn our hearts from sin. His power alone can sanctify, keep us pure within.